Good evening. Let's stand together. We'll sing hymn number 314. 314. Seated, we'll sing hymn number 75. Hymn number 75.
Steve.
Open with me to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read Psalm chapter 8, or Psalm 8. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we come to you through this excellent name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here once more this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for wanting to stand and to preach from it, proclaim it. Lord, we thank you for this day and all things that you provide us. Lord, we thank you for thy grace and thy mercy. Thank you for having compassion. Lord, we ask that you would be with Brother Cody as he stands again before us to open your word, Lord, and to preach the truth. Lord, enable him to preach it that it may bless our hearts, nourish our souls. Lord, that you would bless him as he speaks. Bless his heart and his soul. Lord, we ask for mercy and grace for those who are weak and weary. Some are going through great, great trials and burdens. Lord, but we know and trust that thy grace is sufficient. Lord, we pray for traveling mercies for those who are traveling. We ask that thy will be done for Christ's sake. Amen. Hymn number 448. 448.
A sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed. The depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me when I knew in what he sought me. Sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing to the King of love who ransomed.
Brother Cody's with us once more this evening. You come on, brother, whenever you're ready.
Good evening. If you will, turn with me back to where we were this morning, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I told you this morning I wanted to focus tonight on verse 10, which says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, the reason I felt led to look at this tonight is really giving deep thought to just who was it that came to Zacchaeus that day. And why did he come to Zacchaeus that day? I really want to take a closer look at that tonight. Now, first, look with me back up at verse 3 where it says, speaking of Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus who he was. Again, I can't say with entire confidence what Zacchaeus' desire truly was. We're just not told. But we do know he sought to see Jesus who he was. And so I ask this question, who is this man, Jesus? Who is he? Who came to Zacchaeus that day? Well, Jesus means Savior. Jesus means Savior. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That's what a Savior does. He saves. He shall save his people from their sins. And I like this. Jesus also means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. When Jesus came to Zacchaeus, Jehovah came to Zacchaeus. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. That's who this is. That's who we stand and declare. That's who we come here to worship week after week after week. Jehovah, Jesus, Savior. Down in verse 8, you see where Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord." After being called by name, he called this man Jesus, Lord. And on that thought, I just want to say, it's a sad reality how many people let the name Jesus roll off their tongue who do not know him as Lord. You know, trying to make him Lord and let him in, and they don't know him. They manifest it by what they say. And it's so sad to me every time I hear our Lord's precious name, "Oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven." How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. How often I hear that precious name used as nothing but a byword in anger. Oh, what a shame. No, his name is glorious. His name is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. That's who Jesus the Savior is. He's Lord. That's what Zacchaeus said, Lord. Lord Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. And I like this. I looked at the definition of the word Lord here. There's a few. It means one who has control of the person. He to whom a person or a thing belongs. Listen to this one. He who has the power of deciding. That's who Jesus is. He has control over us. He has the power to decide for us. What's my fate? You know, people like to use the term fate. What has God preordained? Well, what is his purpose? What is his will? That's what's going to come to pass because he's in control. He's the Savior. He's Jehovah. He's Lord. He certainly had power over Zacchaeus, didn't he? We saw that most clearly, didn't we? We sure did. Lord also means the sovereign. The sovereign. There's only one. You know, in the scriptures, there's a lot of accounts that have lowercase l, Lord. There were a lot of masters, if you will. Men who may have been over somebody or had servants. There's just one Lord, capital L. Just one, and it's Jesus. the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, Jehovah. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now I want to show you this verse. I'm sure I quote it here all the time. I love this verse. It's in Revelation 19. I want you to look at it with me. Revelation 19. I rejoice to know who He is, and I rejoice to tell you who He is. It blesses my heart just to be reminded of who our Lord is. Look here, Revelation 19, verse 6. What a glorious verse this is. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Do you enjoy that verse as much as I do? Do you just want to say, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth? You know, by nature, we say, we'll not have this man to reign over me. Well, whether or not we want him to, he does. And I pray that we can find ourselves rejoicing in him who reigneth. He has, he does, and he forever will. Over us, he reigneth. He's omnipotent. He's able to. That's what it means. He's omnipotent. He's able to reign over us. He has the power. He has the ability. None can stop him. He will not be stopped. Turn back to our text, Luke 19. Verse 10 again, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who is he? Who is Jesus, the Savior, Jehovah, the Lord? He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. Now, it's important we notice the capital S in Son. Very important. Son of Man with a lowercase s refers to a son of Adam. Now, I want to point out what you just read in Psalm 8, that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 2. And in that account, if you study it, I believe it's referencing both sons of Adam and Christ, the Son of God, capital S, Son of Man. But for the point of our message, lowercase s, Son of Man, is a son of Adam, like you and me. Capital S, Son of Man, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, God Almighty. Now, I'll show you a few verses here. Turn to Psalm 146. It's important that we see this. Psalm 146. Now, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Clearly that's us, right? But he was made, they crowned him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with honor and glory. Well, that's our Lord, isn't it? That's our Lord. But look here in Psalm 146, verse 3. Very clear. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, lowercase s, in whom there is no help. The word help there means salvation. No salvation in the Son of Man. Well, clearly that's not talking about our Lord. Clearly not. Look down at verse 5 right here. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's Christ, isn't it? That's Christ, our Savior, the God of Jacob, the God of nobodies, our help, our salvation, our hope. I love this. Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. It's after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 7. And I'll go ahead and tell you, and maybe you know, but Son of Man with capital S is, you find it all throughout the New Testament. But I found these verses in Daniel 7, and they bless my heart. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, capital S, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Do we see the difference in the lowercase Son of Man and the capital S Son of Man? All people and all nations shall serve him. All languages. He has an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting dominion that shall not be destroyed. That's the Son of Man that came to Zacchaeus. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. I quoted a part of this morning, but I want to read it here. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man," capital S, "am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." This is no mere man. Jeremiah was a mere man. Elijah was a mere man. The prophets, mere men, but not this man. John the Baptist, mere man. But not the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. The only one. The only one. Our Lord asked this question over in Matthew 22. He said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Whose son is he? Well, they said, well, the Son of David. He said, well, how then did David call him Lord? You know, after that, it says, from that day forward, no one asked him any more questions. That question right there shut the mouth. Is he the Son of David or the Son of God? Yes, both. The Son of David and the Son of God. David called him Lord because that's who he is. David was a mighty king, but he knew who the king was. He's seated at that king's feet right now, worshiping him. Pray we will be soon too. Back in our text again. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Think about the Son of Man, who he is, God. Now, why did he come into this sinful world that did not want him? Why did he do it? To seek and to save. Of all the reasons he could have come here, you'd think the reason would be to destroy us, right? He came to seek and to save. My soul. The Lord God sought out Zacchaeus. He did not leave him in the tree. He did not leave him in the tree. The Lord saved him. He sought him out. He saved him. He didn't leave him in his lost, wretched condition. He didn't. Praise his name, he didn't. He came to seek and to save the self-existing three-in-one God, who has need of nothing, mind you. He chose to come here to seek and to save. Does that not bless your heart just to know that? Heaven is his throne. This earth, we're told, is merely his footstool. Rest his feet on it. The clouds are the very dust of his feet. And yet a body was prepared for him, in order that he might come here to seek and save some of his fallen creatures. Christ, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Why would he do that? Again, this should astonish us when we realize who he is. It wasn't just a man that came to Zacchaeus. If he's come to us, it wasn't just a man that came to us. if he's meeting with us right now through the preaching of his word, which I pray and believe he is, that's not just a man. A man, yes, but the God man. Why would he make himself flesh and dwell among us to seek and to save? Made a little lower than the angels, why? To seek and to save. Made to be sin, why? Because he came to seek and to save. No other reason. That's why. Luke 9:56 says, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. And yet, as we saw this morning, people want to find fault with that. Isn't that amazing? Sad. Find fault with him for coming to seek and to save whom he will. You know, God saving whom he will, that's his business. That's his prerogative. That's his choice. You know who Christ came to seek and save? All those the Father gave to him. That's who. That's who we prayed for. That's who we died for. It's whom he came to save. My prayer is, Lord, save me. Save my family. Save us. Save us. Mark 10:45 says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He ransomed me. We just sang it. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ ransomed me. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. Praise God. Christ is that ransom. Turn over to the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 20. John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. When our Lord hung on the cross, that was his hour. That was the hour for which he came into this world. When our Lord hung on the cross, he was glorified. You say, no, he was mocked. As a man, he was mocked, ridiculed, derided, humiliated. But as God, that was his glory. That's his glory. He was glorified. They saw a weak man hanging on a cross. That was the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, in the midst of them saving his people. That was his glory. And we glorify him now and forevermore because he came and he went to that cross to seek and to save us. We glory in him, don't we? We glory in the Lord. When we start glorying in ourselves, oh, may God lay us low quickly. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you wise? Don't glory in your wisdom. You're strong? Don't glory in your strength. You have riches? Oh, God forbid we glory in our riches. May we glory in Christ, who is all of those things and more to all of his chosen people. Back in our text, Luke 19. Verse 10, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost, not everybody. I don't want to beat the dead horse. We know this. But the lost is a particular people. Otherwise, it'd just say he came to save everybody. He came to save the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. It's a number no man can number. A great multitude, thousands of thousands. He came to save his people, his chosen people, from their sins. They're a peculiar people. I love the way God's elect are described in 2 Peter, I believe. or 1 Peter 2, maybe a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who he came to seek and save. That's who. He said this to that Syrophoenician woman. She came to him with a need. She did. Here's what he said. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you know she was a Gentile? The first words out of her mouth after our Lord told her that, Lord, help me. Lord went on to call her a dog, and she said, truth, Lord. That sounds like someone who was lost. That sounds like a lost sheep, though a Gentile, of the house of Israel. That's what that sounds like to me. Zacchaeus, as far as I can tell, we're not told whether or not he was a Jew or a Gentile. I believe the publicans were often both. But I know this. He was of the house of Israel because we're told he's a son of Abraham. The end of verse 9. Spiritual Israel, that's who he came to save. We're told, I believe in Romans 11, all Israel shall be saved. Why? Because Christ came to seek and save them. And if he came to seek and save them, you think they're going to be sought and saved? Is anyone here lost? You know, the problem in our day is everybody's saved. Everybody's found. Everybody's found God. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody. But the truth is, the only ones who find God, I hate to even use that terminology, but the only ones who find God, so to speak, are those to whom the Son of Man reveals him, those whom he comes to seek and to save. Zacchaeus, we're told to search the Lord, search for the Lord with all our heart. Seek him, search him. But you know what? Being dead in sin, we have a hard time doing that. With men, it's actually impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God sought him. The Lord Jesus Christ came to him. He sought him. He revealed himself. He revealed himself. He revealed the Father. In revealing himself, he reveals the Father. You remember, Philip, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, have I been so long with you, and have you not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. We're one. We're one. I love the song when he reached way down for me. Here's our natural condition. Lost and undone without God's precious Son. That's the way Gabe sings it, God's precious Son. I like that. When he reached down his hand. We need God to reveal to us that's our condition, and we can't get ourselves out of it. If he reveals that to us, then he's saved us. He reveals to us that we're lost by means of saving us. Pray God would reveal to some people that they're lost and cause us to never grow beyond a sinner in need of being sought and saved. Still need the Lord to seek and save me daily. We sing the song, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. The only way we can honestly and humbly sing that is if the Lord has come to us. If the Lord has come to us and said, make haste, come down. Today I must abide at thy house. This day is salvation come to this house. But not until then. Not until then. Pray he would come to us. Zacchaeus could sing that because Christ came to him. Christ saved him. Salvation came to him. Sure did. Now this is a rhetorical question, but does the Lord Jesus Christ successfully seek and save those he came to seek and save? In what he came to do, was he successful? Did he accomplish his purpose? Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, I am not successful in things that I do. I took a 4-hour accounting exam yesterday. I find out in 6 weeks whether or not I was successful. Obviously, I hope that I was, but I may not have been. But our Lord is always successful. one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 42:4, speaking of Christ, the elect, the servant of God, it says, "He shall not fail again." It says that Zacchaeus made haste, he came down, he received the Lord joyfully. You know why? Because Christ shall not fail. No one that he's purposed to save is going to not receive him joyfully. You understand that? Could Zacchaeus have said, "Well, no, I think not. No. No, because Christ came to seek him. Christ came to save him. By default of who he is, he's going to find him. He's going to save him. He's going to have him. He said, "I'm coming to your house." He's coming to his house. That's who he is. That's who our God is. Is that the kind of Savior you need? It's the only kind of Savior that there is. He's the only Savior there is. There's no other kind. The only Savior that there is the Savior who saves. Oh, praise his name, he saves. He's successful. He shall not fail. Never. Never. He had Zacchaeus. I thought of that account in John 4. He must needs go through Samaria. There was a sinful, adulterous woman there. Did he seek her? He did, and he found her. Did he save her? You better believe he did. She left that day saying, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" When he comes to us, when he reveals himself to us, he causes us to know he's the Christ. He's Lord. Though Jesus is his earthly name, he's Lord Jesus. We would do well to refer to him as Lord Jesus Christ. We would do well to refer to him as such. Our Lord successfully finds those he seeks. He successfully saves those he came and purposed to save. And know this, brethren, he does this in spite of us. I never want to forget that everything God has done for me was and is clearly. I manifest my sins so terribly every single day. Everything God has ever done for me has to be in spite of me. It's not that, "Well, now I'm somewhat worthy of it." Oh no, I'm more of a wretch now than I've ever been. God, through the preaching of his word, we continue to learn more and more just how vile and corrupt we are. When God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that understood, if there were any that sought God, do you know what it says he found? None. Any righteous? Nope. None, no, not one. Fallen man seeks many things, but not the true and living God. Quoted part of it, "You shall search for me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's true. But we only truly search for him after he has sought us out. Turn here to Isaiah 65. Show you a couple verses here and I'll stop. Isaiah 65. When any sinner is truly seeking the Lord, it is only the result of the Lord first seeking that sinner. I'm convinced of that as much as I'm convinced of anything. And we're told in the book of 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. Any positive thought we have towards God is only the result of what God's done for us. Every time. Look here, Isaiah 65, verse 1. It says, "I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name." When God says, "Behold me," you know what we do? We behold him. "When thou set seek my face, my heart cried out, thy face, Lord, will I seek." That's the way it is. God's going to get all the glory here. Well, Zacchaeus, he was seeking the Lord. Nope. The Lord was seeking him. The Lord was seeking him. Christ is found of them whom he came to seek and to save. Quite simply. Our Lord, the Good Shepherd, the, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, he goes after that lost sheep until he finds it. If there's a lost sheep here today, Christ is coming for you, and he's going to find you, and he's going to save you. And you're going to praise him for it, and you're going to dwell with him just like Zacchaeus is right now, praising him forever and ever. When our Lord finds that lost sheep, in Luke 15 it says, and when he hath found it, not if, there's not a chance if we belong to Christ that we're going to remain lost forever. No, he's going to find us. When he hath found it, you know what he does? He layeth it upon his shoulders. Rejoicing. You think that sheep is rejoicing too? Absolutely. And I love this. And when he cometh home, he takes his sheep home. We continue to witness that one by one, don't we? He takes his sheep home. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors. You know who that is? Everybody else that's there. All those other sheep that are there in the fold, one shepherd. He called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And there's rejoicing in heaven every single time. Christ is going to seek out his people through the preaching of his word. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal Christ to us and in us. We're going to rejoice. Heaven's going to rejoice. It's our Lord's joy to seek and to save his own. That day when he came to Zacchaeus, this is what really blesses my heart. No doubt Zacchaeus went home rejoicing, received the Lord joyfully. Best day of his life, hands down. But to know that it was our Lord's joy to go seek and save that man, and to seek and save a sinful man like me, or a sinful man or woman like you, or a sinful boy or girl like my children. To know it's our Lord's joy to do that. It was his good pleasure to come here to seek and to save fallen man. That blesses my heart tremendously. That's the God we serve. That's the God who shall be served. By all, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. He's Lord. Look here, Isaiah 62. Read you this verse in closing. Isaiah 62, verse 12. Our Lord's not going to lose a single one whom he came to save. No, not one. Look here, Isaiah 62, verse 12. What a blessed verse this is. And they shall call them. Tell you what, let's back up and read verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out. Who did the seeking? The Lord did. The Lord Jesus Christ did. This is our name. Look at this. Sought out. A city not forsaken. Praise God. Our Lord came here to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Lord, seek us. Save us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this blessed account of our dear brother Zacchaeus and how that you so marvelously and wondrously came to him. You sought him out. You saved him freely by your grace. And we rejoice. We truly rejoice because that's exactly what you've done for us. And all we can do is praise your name. Oh, Lord God, we desire to praise, honor, and extol your mighty, wonderful name, the Savior of sinners. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. Pray that you might have great mercy upon us and our loved ones. I pray for these dear saints here, Lord, keep them. Many sick and going through great, great afflictions. And we bring them before you. You're our physician, our great physician. And we know you'll heal as you see fit. Lord, whether or not you heal our infirmities, we know that it is well with our soul and we shall be made whole. We shall be made whole because it is finished. The battle is over. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless us and keep us. Forgive us of our sin. For Christ's sake, in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that message and that prayer, brother. Let's all stand together and let's sing that chorus, page 30, When the Savior Reached Down for Me. Page 30 in our chorus books. Once my soul was astray from the head.
Lost.
meet again Wednesday evening, Lord willing. You're just missed.